Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, Oliver. Feeling good. Nearly Christmas time, so I'm feeling excited. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. And we're going to start with something completely new, which was put forward by a colleague of ours, Chris Lappin, of the BBGW pod. Podcast that I've done and Stephen has done as well, and obviously with Chris's interviews, which usually come out on a Friday. So he said, as an introduction to the ROH roster of 2019, that we, or shall I say Stephen, should introduce us to a wrestler per show with a 5-minute kind of time frame. So this week's superstar of choice is the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle. And Stephen, if you could be so kind, can you let myself, because I'm an ROH fan from back in the day, and the listeners, can you tell us all about the Party Peacock, please?
Certainly, yeah. Dalton Castle, he's been in Ring of Honor for around 2013. He started in the company, so about 6 years. And he's got a very much a Freddie Mercury sort of glam rock style to him. So if people have seen him on the Ring of Honor show, you'll see that he's kind of got the flamboyant entrance attire with the gorgeous George robes, and at one point he also had his boys who were like his manservant slaves who he would be standing on to get into the ring, and he was very just effeminate in the sense of very much like a Gold Dust, or if people know of Adrian Street from back in the day, very much that kind of glam rock, effeminate, confident wrestler, basically, and personality. Something very different for Ring of Honor as well. When you're so used to seeing all of these hard, toughened technical wrestlers, to see someone like Dalton Castle come through, who was a lot more flamboyant and cocky and confident, it was a real breath of fresh air. And he's been a former Ring of Honor world champion. He won the championship just at the end of 2017. He beat Cody, now of AEW, Cody Rhodes, to win the championship, and he defended it. He had quite a decent run. He defended it 7 times, which is pretty good going for a Ring of Honor world champion today. But unfortunately, he could have had an even longer run, but he sadly had several injuries which stopped him from having a really long reign, so he had to lose the championship to Jay Lethal on. It was the first Ring of Honor World Championship change as well on Ring of Honor television, which was a big deal at the time for me, obviously from watching the program for so long. And all those people who have possibly been watching the shows recently on Fight Network TV, you'll see that he's a brilliant promo. Some of the best promos in recent Ring of Honor history have come from Dalton Castle. He's been in some great feuds with Silas Young, with Jay Lethal, great feud with Roosh. And he's gradually climbed up to be one of the top stars in the company. I mean, a lot of people didn't see a lot from Dalton Castle, or just saw him as kind of an attraction rather than being a main event sort of player. But he has earned the fans' respect, including my own, and he is one of the most successful wrestlers in the company in recent times, and one of the franchise players of now 2019. He's just a great technical wrestler as well. You know, he's got a really good grounded base. He's got it all, really. He can talk, he can wrestle, he's got great charisma. He's got great facial expressions as well. You know, if any of you have seen the promos recently, as I mentioned on the previous episode of Joe Hendra, you know, he's just so funny. He's just so versatile. So he's a real asset to Ring of Honor and one of the best members of the Ring of Honor roster. So, I hope that's helped shed a bit more light onto Dalton Castle if people didn't know much about him. And if anyone would like any Dalton Castle matches recommending, then just either send me a tweet or just let us know. Me or Oliver know, and we can certainly dig some out for you. So, so that's my introduction into Dalton Castle.
Yeah, we know there's been some news over Final Battle and Final Battle Fallout, but the way we're approaching this is we're going to do this as the ROH TV review. Any news from Final Battle will be after that review. And then any news between Final Battle and Fallout will be after that, the Fallout review. And any news post-Fallout will be a part of the Fallout review as well. So instead of just getting into the news on this ROH TV review, episode 6, we're just going to go straight into the show. So, yeah, we are... starts with the PCO Mighty Scroll number one contender tournament final, and you know, PCO wins that match and goes on to be the number one contender against Rouge for the ROH World Championship Final Battle. Yeah, we get video packages of Matt Taven's Stalker angle, which in it turns out to be a member of the Kingdom, which has now kind of closed its doors, yeah. In Vincent Marsiga, who is now just called Vincent. Another video package this time for Bully Ray, Mark Haskins, and his wife, Vicky Haskins, which we've seen before on a previous ROH show. So I'm just going to kind of run through the video packages rather than talk about them. This time, Haskins comes to the ring and calls out Bully Ray. This was a really good promo from Haskins, I'm sure you'll agree.
I thought it was a great promo. And I thought that he really got the crowd fired up as well. Because we've said about the crowds not being very into anything, but I feel that Haskins really got him into it.
Yeah. And then... Bully Ray comes out to stage after Haskins, you know, called him to the ring, used the not so good language, which we're not going to repeat on this show. And, you know, he's teasing entering the ring, and then the mercenary Flip Gordon attacks Haskins, and Bully Ray pays off Flip Gordon after the attack. And what did you make of this development, Stephen?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, Bully Ray and Flip Gordon have had history last year. They've had a long feud, which was very similar to Mark Haskins and Bully Ray's feud at the moment. And, yeah, I mean, Flip Gordon's one of those guys who he's a much better heel than he is a babyface. And it did take me by surprise this. But I also wish that it would have been Flip Gordon who was facing Mark Haskins, because I am kind of a bit tired of Bully Ray being in Ring of Honor, and just my own personal views of him, it's kind of time to, you know, let the new guard sort of come along like Flip Gordon and Mark Haskins and have at it, rather than, you know, Bully Ray still there having his, you know, ECW sort of Tommy Dreamer-esque matches. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a really good segment, and I thought they really helped hype up the match, which was coming up at Final Battle. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it did two things really well. One, it got across the mercenary aspect of Flip Gordon's character.
Yeah.
That he's just in it for the money and the fame and the notoriety. And then obviously, for anyone who's just switched on the TV for this Mark Haskins Bully Ray street fight coming up at Final Battle, it put a really good spotlight on that and showed that Haskins isn't scared of the bigger Bully Ray. He's coming to Final Battle and he's coming with everything he's got.
Definitely.
I thought that they got that across really well. The next little thing was Dalton Castle, the man that's been previewed in... introduced in Stephen's introduction to ROH Superstars on tonight's show. He joined Joe Hendry in the the backstage area. Hendry was talking. Castle had this kind of out there look on his face. They were talking about being superstars, but Castle said he thought they meant they'd have superpowers, which was really strange. But going off what you've just said about Dalton Castle, yeah, completely agree with the facials that he shows, facial expressions that he shows, and really like this tandem. Whether it lasts is another thing, but yeah, in terms of entertainment, these two do bring a lot to the table.
Definitely. They really play off each other really well. And Dalton Castle's just one, like we just mentioned, and I've already just said in the introduction to the superstars of Ring of Honor, that his expressions and his mannerisms are just so on point. And he's just one of those wrestlers who understands the TV business, because a lot of Ring of Honor wrestlers, they've been critiqued in the past for not really having the sort of understanding the aspect of TV, you know, like getting used to being on television and things. Whereas Dalton Castle has that already naturally in him. So he understands how to get the most out of the camera and get the most out of the audience who are watching at home. And he's just made for TV. He's one of those wrestlers who is just made for TV. And yeah, I thought it was a really good little segment. And like I said, I find Dalton Castle really amusing. So I found it really funny.
Very good. The first match of the night was Darewolf PJ Black versus Bateman, who has had his first name removed for obvious reasons.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think in this situation, like, I was watching this match and I was thinking, like, this is a 50-50 match for a new superstar that's been introduced. And you're trying to get him across as like a really big threat. So I was thinking there's kind of a couple of ways to do this. Do you, you know, with Black and stuff, can you squash him and still make him look, you know, just because of obviously new character you're trying to get across? Or was the 50-50 the route to go down? What did you make of this, Stephen?
I actually thought it was a real... I hadn't really thought of it in that aspect. I just thought it was a really strong, competitive match. And I thought that both men did a really good job. I think that PJ Black has got a lot of stock behind him in Ring of Honor, so they didn't want to make him look weak. But I feel that Bateman should have had a little bit more offense going in. I will admit, we should have had more offense going into it and looked a little bit more aggressive and not had to have fought so hard. Now, you have said that. But I thought it was a brilliant TV match. I thought it was... I really like Tyler Bateman's... Well, Bateman, as he's known here in Ring of Honor, his work, and I really like his look. And I think that they had really... To say this is the first time I think they probably wrestled each other, I think they've got fantastic chemistry, and I'd really like to see them wrestle each other again for longer. Or I thought it was just a really good TV match. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah. Like I said, that was just my thoughts while watching it. But in terms of the match itself, I think PJ Black is somebody who's underrated for what he can do.
Yeah.
It's just like we mentioned on the previous show, possibly as part of that four-way match last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that he can do things, but other people can do similar things. And then he pulled out the moonsault dropkick to the face on Eli Isom. And you're like, yep, this guy can really, you know, bring it.
Yeah.
So for myself, only watching ROH for the last 5 weeks on TV, I don't know how much stock has been put into PJ Black. So that's where your expertise comes into, you know, effect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just watching this match and thinking new star, I was like, okay, he might, you know, might be giving too much away and stuff. But if they've put a lot into PJ Black, which is what you said, he's part of the lifeblood, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've put him in this faction. So, yeah, I guess if he's got a lot behind him, then you don't want to squash him. But I was just thinking in terms of building a new star. I think you know, they showed off his wrestling ability, Bateman.
Definitely.
It's just, you know, what are you trying to do with him? I think is what I was thinking. But yeah, in you know, with the looking at the match itself, you know, another solid, really good ROH TV match. It's just the kind of booker in me, because we do the fantasy booking and stuff, just thought maybe there's a better way to produce this match.
Yeah.
But no, with the, you know, with the fans' perspective, you know, pun intended, you can see that this was a really good, strong ROH TV match, the debut of Bateman as well. He obviously looked good from a wrestling perspective. It's just from a character perspective, I'm not sure what this match has done for him.
Yeah.
But from a wrestling perspective, it showed off what he can do in the ring. So a little bit on the fence about this match in terms of the aftermath. But watching it just there and then, it was a good match, definitely.
Yeah.
The next thing of note was Josh Woods and Silas Young backstage, where we saw Jokoff, which we've never seen. Yeah, we haven't seen before on 5 weeks of ROH TV. And it was funny segment because of what Woods was asking for in his contract. And Jokoff just said, no. And I'm really into this team now.
Yeah.
Because obviously we've only seen 5 weeks for yourself. You've seen longer because of, you know, the TV on the internet and stuff. But here in the UK, we've only seen 5 weeks. I'm really into Silas Young and Josh Woods. It's, you know, it's a kind of friendship, but Young kind of has to rein Woods in.
Yeah.
I just think it's a brilliant, like, mentorship, isn't it, kind of thing?
Yeah.
And, like, Josh Woods is really good, and like it's been said, like in an interview that Silas Young did, that he was in NXT. I don't remember him being in NXT.
He was there briefly, but I think he did live events rather than I never saw him on the TV, but I think he did live events possibly. Yeah.
He said that Josh Woods walked around in eggshells in NXT in an interview, and I was like, I don't remember him being in NXT. But yeah, if he's done live events, then you wouldn't know unless you've read about it, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, really into this team of Silas Young and Josh Woods. I mean, in the ring, they're really good. And from a comedic perspective, or just a kind of real perspective, like Josh Woods wants to be his best friend and Silas Young's kind of keeping him at arm's length. It makes for really good TV. They're definitely two characters that I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
What do you make of this, Stephen?
Exactly the same opinion. I think that Josh Woods and Silas Young are going to be one of the best teams for 2020 in Ring of Honor. I think this segment showed a lot of, and the segments previous we've seen have shown a lot of, again, the versatility of both men, and how, like you said, the relationship between them is very, you know, unusual, yet it works. And it's, you know, it's, and also having Jokoff there as well, I think adds that layer of, that extra layer of sort of comedic effect, because Jokoff rarely ever appears on Ring of Honor television. I've only seen him a handful of times on the TV, especially like in segments like this. So I thought that was really refreshing as well. And I just think it was a really sort of inventive little segment, what they did. And I think that they are putting, again, a lot of stock into them as a team, which I think they're not just two wrestlers who have just been thrown together who aren't really able. They're just like stuck to a bit like the Miz and Morrison thing, where although they've been thrown together, they actually do work as a really good tandem. And I feel it's the same here, where Woods and Young we saw how they were in the four-way last week, just that they can work so well in the ring. They just have that natural chemistry, what just works, and they're just great. I just want to see more of them in the ring. I want to see even more, you know, I want to see more of them going through 2020. I think they're great.
And the next thing of note that came up was an ad for Shane Taylor Promotions, which, as always, was top notch. And then Taylor is escorted by the Reverend Ron Hunt and the tag team of Soldiers of Savagery, who were in the aforementioned four-way tag last week. And this show was recorded in Ohio, and Taylor is a native of Cleveland, Ohio. And, you know, he talked up the length of his TV title reign, saying this would be his 12th defense. And his opponent is the Montreal indie wrestler Danhausen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he got a picture promo, which was very interesting, to say the least. What did you make of this promo, Stephen?
I just thought it was weird and strange, and he's just odd.
Bateman and Danhausen make a good tag team, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would do. They would do. You know, I think it's good that Ring of Honor are experimenting with new characters and new ways of, you know, presenting their product. And guys like Danhausen.
What's this about creating new stars, Stephen?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know. I thought it was really good again. I think it was another fresh face into the company, and, you know, something we wouldn't have expected. And yeah, I thought it was really, really engaging and really good. It was weird, but it was good. It was.
I'm sure you were a huge fan of him carrying human teeth to the ring.
Yes. Yeah, I was. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I've still got all mine, thankfully. He didn't take any of mine.
he didn't take. And yeah, this led into an ROH World Television Championship match between Shane Taylor and Danhausen. Shane Taylor was with Ron Hunt, Moses, and Khan of the Soldiers of Savagery. One of the interesting aspects of this match was Dake Draper, the 2019 Top Prospect Tournament winner, is owed a TV title match. Yes, so he was watching on, which was interesting. And yeah, this match was strange. You know, not bad, not in any way, shape or form. Obviously, Danhausen is probably going to be an acquired taste.
Yeah,
You know, worked his character brilliantly. It was really interesting seeing Shane Taylor being so beloved by the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he has that kind of cool heel kind of thing, but this was actually in his home state, so he was beloved by the crowd. And I thought they wrestled a pretty good match. And yeah, it's, you know, it's always, you know, really brutal, the package pile driver that Shane Taylor was, and the Welcome to the Land, which is greetings from Asbury Park. From Bam Bam Bigelow fame.
Yeah.
One of the best big men in the business. If you're ever going to take a move, you'd probably take it from Bam Bam, wouldn't you? Yeah. Shane Taylor wins and retains his ROH World Television title. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was another really good, fun match to watch. And like you just said, I thought the crowd getting behind Shane Taylor was great. You know, the guy, when he came out for that entrance, the crowd were just on fire, you know, and it was so exciting to see. That's the kind of crowd what Ring of Honor used to have back in the day, and they were electric for him. And, you know, he's just a star. The guy's just a star, and he's just so good. And, you know, Danhausen put in a strong effort to say that this was his first, you know, it's the first time I'd seen him wrestle in Ring of Honor. I have seen a little bit of his work, indie work, over in Canada. But I thought he did made a really strong impression. And you are right, that package pile driver, what he gave him, just, like, you know, was brutal. You know, it looked absolutely devastating. And, you know, the greetings from Asbury Park, as I call it, what he does as well, just... Well, we were talking about it before, but when it was in the it was in the previous episode about, again, about the four-way tag, but they're two moves which once you get hit, that's it. Like, that's the end of the match there. You're not getting up from that. And that's what I love about that, those two, well, the Greetings from Asbury Park, is that it's so devastating that, you know, that's it. And yeah, I thought it was really good. Really strong match for Shane Taylor going into final battle as well. Like, really strong defense, and the way he looked, he just looked really dominant as a champion. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And the next thing was Taylor and Hunt were in a you know, court backstage in a post match, and a really funny kind of situation occurred here where Shane Taylor said he'll fight anyone at final battle and win by any means necessary. Well, last week he did a promo on Dragon Lee, so this episode and that episode were out of sync, and that brought a smile to my face. Like, wait a second, last week you said you were facing Dragon Lee. He still talks you into a building. He still did it in this promo, but
yeah,
the fact that one week he knew who he was facing and the next week he didn't know was quite funny. Did you pick up on that, or was that just me?
I did slightly, but I think I kind of viewed it in the sense that he'd face anyone, as in, you know, including Dragon Lee, because he'd faced Danhausen on the episode. So, but yeah, it does make sense. I hadn't looked at it in that way, and it is funny.
And once again, yeah, we got video package. So this was video package of Jay Lethal turning heel, with Jonathan Gresham attacking the Briscoes of Steel Chair, which we've seen before, but makes complete sense when you're trying to build up the final battle card.
Yeah.
Then Ian Riccoboni goes through the final battle card itself. And to close out the show, we get another video package on the PCO and Rush, you know, the build-up to that final battle. And that was kind of the show. So it was very, you know, video package heavy, which, you know, you're trying to sell a pay-per-view, so that makes complete sense. In terms of the two matches, once again, two good matches for different reasons. You know, I guess with your booking hat on, the first match might have been a little bit less and with more offense from Bateman, from my perspective. And the second match with Danhausen, he's somebody who, like you said about Crowbar, has got himself a cult following. So yeah, it was a good idea of Ring of Honor to bring him in for this debut, and to debut him against the ROH World Television Champion shows that they believe in what he does.
Yeah.
And he had, like you said, had a good showing against the ROH World Television Champion. So, two good matches. Just that, really. But everything gearing up to a final battle. And, that was kind of the show, Stephen. You got any final thoughts on it?
I thought all the video packages were all great. I thought the actual production on all of them was fantastic. The last one, which closed the show between PCO and Roosh, I thought was really, really good video package. I might be in the minority there with that, but I just thought the production of it, the music, the promo, the aspect of it in terms of the interviews, what they took sound bites from, I thought it was really, really good, and it really got me hyped up for the final battle main event. You know, I thought it was just, and I would like to say as well that the package highlighted to me just how many crazy things PCO has done over this past 12 months in Ring of Honor. Like, the amount of bumps he's taken and the amount of crazy stuff he's done, like, it was unbelievable to see it all there in one package. But I thought it was really a really strong closing to the show, and I thought it was a really good closing, you know, sort of finish. Lead up to final battle. You go home show. Sorry, I was thinking of the phrase. Go home show to final battle. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think it got the job done, because, like I said, Haskins calling out Bully Ray kind of shone a spotlight on his match. And the two matches were good. And it was great because the UK TV kind of was at the same time frame as the US. So we weren't playing catch-up anymore.
Yeah.
And everyone is kind of in sync going into Final Battle. And yeah. And yeah, that's it, really. Not sure how long we've gone tonight, but yeah, you'll get two special one-off shows once again this week to go along with this ROH TV show, Episode 6. We'll have a Final Battle review, which should be out sometime before, probably around Friday, and a Final Battle Fallout review, which should be released by Sunday. So yeah, we hope you've enjoyed tonight's episode. And yeah, we at BBGW Pod have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, where unfortunately there's no Ring of Honor footage, but hopefully that'll change in the future. There's 6,500 plus hours of wrestling from 140 plus promotions, and it's a really good streaming service, which I thoroughly recommend. And the code for 30 days for free is Broken Free. Enjoy the service on us for 30 days, or for a month, sorry. And myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author with two books with Ring of Honor in them. My first book is The Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And I was fortunate enough to be at the Unified in 2006 in Liverpool to see the fantastic match between Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness, which unified the ROH world and pure titles, hint, hint. yeah, we haven't said it so far this show. Nah. So yeah, bring back the ROH pure title. And I was lucky enough to be in a hotel with ROH wrestlers in 2007, once again in Liverpool. And I was at the two shows for the five-year festival, which was Samoa Joe's leaving of ROH. So yeah, just lucky enough to be at the ROH shows, the two nights in Liverpool in 2007 as well. And yeah, for my other book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, I was fortunate enough to be at the ROH shows in downtown Orlando, Florida. I got to see Austin Aries versus Nigel McGuinness live, which was a tremendous match. And I talk about that amongst other things in that book. And yeah, if you could support us in that way and keep this podcast free, we'd really appreciate it. Stephen supported me by buying copies of both books. And I really appreciate you doing that, Stephen.
That's all right.
And they're available.
Good books. I really enjoyed them.
Thank you very much. And right. They're available on my Big Cartel at afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And yeah, you can get them on Amazon, on paperback and Kindle. Kindle's instantaneous. And you can get them on Kindle Unlimited for free. And for yourself, Stephen, you've got some cracking articles I'm sure you'd like to promote. And for ROH Hate Mail, you've got a Twitter handle, which I'm sure you'd like to share.
Yeah, so if you want to send me any, if you want to troll me, Ring of Honor trolls, welcome to follow me at SteeJ215 on Twitter. And you can also read my Ring of Honor articles along with my other wrestling articles at the website at The Wrestling Estate or at The Wrestling EST on Twitter. And if you type into Google The Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find not only my articles but my colleagues as well. So we cover everything from Ring of Honor, which I cover, to New Japan, to WWE, Impact Wrestling, as well as the independent scene. And each week we have a weekly roundtable where we cover an aspect of the industry or a topic. Yeah, so just go and check us out, and you know, just follow me at SteeJ215 on Twitter and have some Ring of Honor chats.
Superb. And for myself, in terms of my handles, At Twitter, it's at Bromial. On Instagram, it's at Bromial. On Facebook, it's a Fans Perspective UK. For the hub, it's BBG Wrestling on Twitter. And then for the main podcast show, it's at BBGW Pod. And we've got a website as well, and that is bbgwrestling.com. And yeah, I think that's everything for tonight. And yeah, we should be back with the ROH Final Battle review for Friday and ROH Final Battle Fallout for Sunday, and back for episode 7 of the ROH TV review next Monday. Thanks very much for tuning in, and bye for now.
Bye everyone, and thank you again.